my fighting life was 20 plus years when we include wrestling. But my business life is going to be likely significantly longer than that.
Hey, let me tell you something, Ben. I've never said this on air. But after, when I've always said I'm going to retire at 26, everybody looks at me crazy, right?
Yeah.
But I'm doing it to go into the MMA ring. What's good, people? Welcome back to another episode of Fierce Talk. I got Scott Sullivan as well. Scott, say what's up to the people.
You don't want me to talk.
I know. I don't. I'm sorry.
Let's be honest.
Sorry for asking the people to hear Scott's voice, but it's all good. Without further ado, you're not going to believe who my guest is today. It's Ben Askren, the man going against Jake Paul in the ring. It's going to be April 17th. The fight will be on Triller, and it will be Ben's first pro boxing match, but that does not mean he's not prepared. Ben has been an MMA fighter, an Olympic wrestler, a two-time NCAA champion in freestyle wrestling. This man's got cred. He's got the goods. It's going to be a great fight. Welcome to the show, Ben. Let's go.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Man, we're doing good. How are you doing? How's the preparation so far for the fight?
Yeah, it's going really well. I'm actually going to train right after this. Man. You said this before we got on the show, and you don't want to be arrogant yet, but you said you're good at things. I'm kind of good at things too. I've been top 10 in the world at four different sports now. And so I always say it is not going to take me longer than 12 weeks to beat up an amateur in Jake Paul. I don't want to fight any real boxers. I do not want to do that, but I will beat up Jake Paul.
So Jake's not a real boxer. That's what he just said.
No.
But what do you mean? That's true. There's not even debate about that.
Yeah. I mean, I see that you have a responsibility going into this fight, and you have a chance to really put the nail in the coffin here. I think a lot of people want to see it. See you really beat Jake Paul down. You could ask the people want to see that. And how do you feel with that pressure going into the ring? Like, okay, people are counting on me here. I have a lot of people watching. Do you feel any pressure here? Because I feel like there's some tension in the air.
Yeah, I'm mainly doing this for me because I think it'll be fun and I'm excited for it. But you know the one thing, and then, Ryan, I'm a little older than you, and so I'm not of Jake's generation, and I knew the Paul brothers, and they were kind of famous, but when I signed on to fight him, I didn't realize how many people hated this dude. Like, I'm used to being, like, maybe 50-50 at best, but I kind of play an unlikable character. Right. People freaking hate Jake Paul. I don't totally get it still, but I'm kind of getting there.
Right. Do you think there's going to be any challenges in this fight? What do you see in a Jake's game that you might say, that might be a problem? Or do you see it as, I'm going to go in there, walk into the park, and I'm going to beat his ass? Like, what do you really see? Like, if and don't share too much of your game plan. I wouldn't want you to do that. I'll share it all. Yeah, it doesn't matter, right? It's going to work.
Doesn't matter.
So go ahead.
No, I don't think it does matter, though. So we've seen him against two guys who look like they never fought in their life in any type of combat sports. And so, like I said about combat sports, it's, you know, there's different technical skills, but there's a lot of things that carry over. Like, if you can't deal with cardio, if you're not tough, if you don't know how to deal with adversity, you can't be good at wrestling, boxing, mixed martial arts. It doesn't matter. You're not going to be good at them.
Right.
And so, you know, from a tactical perspective, I'm going to try to be sound defensively, and then I'm just going to put a lot of pressure on him. And I do not think he will know how to deal with the pressure and the adversity when it happens.
I mean, I agree with that. I watched a few of your fights. I mean, I've known who you are for a while.
Yeah.
And that what you mentioned about adversity, I feel like that's one of the intangibles, that it doesn't matter how long you're training or whatever, that only comes with the experience of competition. Yes. Though it's not boxing that you did a form of fighting, which it requires something inside you that you've proven, even if it hasn't been in boxing. And we don't know if Jake has that inside of him yet. We're not saying he doesn't, but we don't know. But we know you got it.
Yeah, what I have to say is, like, I've known Jake obviously for a while now. Hung out with him, done a lot of videos with him. He's obviously been boxing for a long time. like training wise, but like you said, competition is a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. When those lights are on and when that pressure's coming in, it's not really going your way that well. That's something you learn in the amateurs, you know, and he hasn't had the amateur fights. He hasn't had where things might not be going his way in a fight. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest issue for here for Jake in this fight is like, Ben knows there's a secret art to every game. There's a secret art to boxing, MMA, and wrestling that you kind of understand as the more experienced. You can't buy it. There's no buying this experience. You know what I mean? You got prodigies, yes. But, you know, to call Jake a prodigy would be an insane.
that's insane.
That's a little insane right now. You know what I mean? Can't go there. Respect to him trying to get in the ring and trying to do this thing the right way.
Yeah, I respect what Jake Paul's doing too.
You guys are right about the competition aspect. Like, because, and there's just something, even practice can't replicate.
Yes.
You being out there, you know, and so all combat sports are essentially one-on-one, whether it's wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. Yep. You're one-on-one. There's nobody to save you. Shit starts going wrong. It's not going your way. How do you recoup mentally and say, I'm going to go figure out how to get this done? Or how do you do when you had a game plan, right? You have this game plan going into the fight and all of a sudden your game plan is not going right. And how do you adjust your game plan in the middle of the fight and say, okay, I'm going to change this. And then that's what's going to happen. Then I'm going to get it done. And that's the type of stuff that even in practice can't be replicated. It has to happen in competition.
And you look like somebody that takes care of themselves outside the ring and holds yourself up to like a healthy lifestyle. So I don't see you being like a former person that is totally out of it, that just doesn't have anything left. I see yourself as, you know, somebody that still has some left to give, and you're just going to end up giving it to a YouTuber.
Hey, Ben, so how did the fight come about in the first place? Like, how did this even come up?
They called me out when they had the last fight with Nate Robinson, and I thought it was a joke. I mean, I thought, haha, this is funny. You know, he has to throw a few names out there. And so I fired back on social media. And then a few weeks later, they called me and I said, listen, I'd love to fight. I don't see why not. I've never boxed anybody. But, you know, in high school, I don't know if you guys, no one probably did this with you, Ryan, because you're really good and no one wants to. But when I was in high school, you know, maybe a certain Friday night, we didn't have anything to do. Might be a bunch of dudes coming to my place and let's throw on these boxing gloves and punch each other. And that was like a fun Friday night. So I never boxed freshly, but I have boxed a couple times in my basement against, friends.
Hey, believe it or not, a couple times got challenged in school. They would look at me. Yes, yes. They would look at me and say, there's no way you're a boxer. Big dude, 6'1", 6'2". and I would be like, oh, you want to find out? Come to my garage. I would end up beating them up. They can't take the pressure. You know what I mean? If you haven't dealt with that, I'm telling you, even kids in the street, no matter how big you are, no matter how anything, if you haven't felt real pressure in the ring, you just don't know how you're going to react. Coming to a question I've been wanting to ask you is, how do you feel about this trolling he's been doing with Canelo, which I kind of found a little disrespectful to the pound-for-pound champion in boxing? But just overall, how do you feel about his trolling, his disrespect in a way?
Yeah. I guess I missed it. What did you do to Canelo? Because I missed that.
Oh, tell
me. The in-ring stuff? Are you talking about the in-ring thing?
No. Well, Canelo seen somebody wearing a Jake Paul shirt.
Yep.
And to get the F out of here and kicked him off the stage. And Jake kind of took offense to that. And I don't even know why. It's Canelo's moment. He just won a fight. Like,
absolutely.
Why is somebody promoting Jake? You know what I mean? Right then and there.
Yeah.
But Jake started saying, Canelo, don't fight nobody.
Yeah, he claimed Canelo was ducking people. And he just started saying
his own contract, which... You just don't go there with a guy like Canelo, somebody that's been, you know, doing this his whole life, and he literally stays out of every type of business you can when it comes to trolling and stuff like that. He doesn't play the social media game.
I don't see why people even really take Jake serious. And I know, I mean, I guess one of the things I think his fan base, the majority of them have not hit puberty yet. So I think that's part of it. They're young. They don't know what the hell's going on. They're gullible. But anyone who's got like half a brain, they're just not going to take anything he says seriously. I mean, Canelo has obviously proven himself as a very, very high level boxer for a very long time. Right. And Jake saying stuff is just like, I would just ignore him. And that's kind of, you know how I feel about a lot of the stuff on social media. It's like, you might as well just ignore it. There's not even anything worth getting upset about. Like, he followed my wife, and it's like, okay, like,
right.
Funny.
So, in that, why did you take the call out serious? Like, not saying like that. I know you said you were doing it like just because you never boxed before and you're looking at it as an opportunity to do it.
I could already answer.
Besides that though, because like you are like, you're a real fighter and people know that. So why would, like, and I'm just asking, I wonder why would you accept the fight in the first place? Like, because people might be like, damn, Ben's fighting a nobody now. Like,
no, I've never boxed, right? So people already, they don't think I can box, which, I mean, again, right. I'm not challenging a pro boxer. I have no illusions that I'm going to go beat any of them up, but I could beat Jake Paul up. it was like, haha, funny. I tweet back twice and then they call me and then like, okay, it's real. And it's like, I run my wrestling academies. I do podcasts. I enjoy my life. I had hip surgery last year, so I needed a reason to get in shape anyways. I started working out. I'm like, you know, I was probably going to do a wrestling match just to have like a real reason to train, because this is what I've been doing for the last 20 years. And so when they said, hey, box Jake Paul. Okay. That sounds like a good time. They're going to pay me nice. I don't see why not.
Yeah. How do you like boxing? Like, now that you've really devoted your time to it, one-on-one, just boxing, no wrestling, none of that. How do you like it?
It's fun. So in MMA, my whole purpose, my only purpose was, how do I get through them to get to the body to take them down? Right. And, you know, I was undefeated for a decade. And so it worked relatively well. I had the mishap at the end. Happens. And now when I started training boxing, it was like, okay, why am I doing this movement? Why am I doing that movement? And it was like, everything was like, oh, cause I want to grab him. Oh, cause I want to get ready for a shot. I want to take him down. And so now it's like, okay, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And so it's like, kind of like, I love learning. And so going through this process of why I did certain things before and why I need to do them differently. And then I guess like the biggest, most obvious thing is, you know, in boxing, your front leg's a lot further out there. And in MMA, you would really never do that because you get kicked or you'd get taken down off of that leg.
Right.
And so just finding like the different kind of balance. I've been watching a lot of boxing on YouTube. It's kind of like you.
No, that's what probably. I do. That's what I do. I watch boxing.
I didn't know you do. Okay. Well, like, you can probably watch things. So in boxing, I'm sure. And I used to do this in wrestling. Yeah. I could watch something and see something happen one time. And then I could just do it because I was high level at wrestling.
You could probably
do the same thing with boxing. But for me, it's just like, I just want to see these movements over and over and over again and see the way people move and get a feel for that. Cause I know if I do enough of it, it will translate into something that works.
That's very smart of you. I've actually done that many times. I mean, Scott would tell you of a story. I watched a video of Sugar Ray Robinson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he threw, they called it the perfect left hook. Perfect left hook. Who was he facing?
It was, he fought Gene Fulmer, and it's known in the boxing world as Sugar Ray Robinson threw the most perfect left hook, and Ryan had never seen it. And this is the day of his fight of against Fonseca, his last fight before the Luke Campbell fight. And we watched it. I just showed it to him. I was like, I feel like you'd be able to do this to this guy. And Ryan watched it and went, yo, I'm going to do that. And then he did it that night in the fight. Like, and it was like one of the knockouts of the year.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I could relate to that. I could see. Who boxers are you watching right now? Like, I'm interested. Like, who are you watching right now to get ready to put that pressure, to do it the right way, and to ultimately beat Jake Paul?
Yeah. Well, my favorite one is probably not someone who I can emulate very much, and very few have. My favorite one is Roy Jones.
I knew you were going to say Roy Jones the second you said.
The way he moves is just, it's so unique.
It's insane.
And it's like, he's like a wizard out there. You know what I'm saying? Man, it's so fun watching him. I know I can't move like Roy Jones, but it's so much fun watching him.
Yeah. I mean, I watched him too. I'll make a suggestion.
I'll make some suggestions. You go first.
Watch Jose Luis Castillo.
Okay.
Watch him. And watch, obviously, I mean, Canelo is probably one of the best pressure forward fighters without getting touched. So I would say those two, if you want to go for that pressure Jake Paul fight style.
The other one that one of my coaches suggested, and I've watched a few, is Maidana. He fought Mayweather. He did good for a couple rounds. They kind of got his ass kicked after that.
That's a whole, you have to be born to fight like that. That's a whole different, that's a whole different thing.
I'll tell you who you should watch. Old school, because I feel like I know what you're going to do. Jake LaMotta, Carmen Basilio.
Yeah, I've
watch
seen
them. Got Rocky Marciano, that just nonstop going forward. It doesn't matter. Like, and that, I feel like that's what your strength is, because I know you could take it, because I mean, besides what just happened, we know what happened. But I saw the Robbie Lawler fight.
Yeah,
and like the first minute, like
I got caught in a bad spot there,
dude. The first minute of the Robbie Lawler fight, I was like, all right, he could take a baseball bat to the head probably.
Yeah,
you know, like anyone that gets hit in that sweet spot, that could have happened to anybody, but I know you could take punishment.
Yeah,
because I seen what you took and I'm like, damn, I don't know if Jake Paul's gonna be able to hurt this dude.
Yeah And then one of my heroes growing up was Ali, just for a lot of reasons. And, you know, there's not a ton of footage of him that exists, but he's obviously, you know, he revolutionized the sport at that point in time for sure.
No, 100%. And you can still see the effects he's having, you know, how he changed the sport and how he inspired me and others still to this day. And obviously I didn't get to watch one of his fights live. So he's obviously did something great and should be respected. So. I mean, I'm going to dive into something right now.
Let's do it.
When you see, say, when you hear people say, oh, Ben is only known because he got knocked out by, you know, the knee, right? Does that build a fire inside of you? Does that motivate you? Because that would make me go into a mode that you wouldn't, I would be monstrous. I would be like, it's okay. Say what you want. It's all right. I'm going to eat you up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So does that burn something inside of you, or you just let it go? Because I see you as a go lucky guy, let things go off the shoulder, but you have something inside. You have to be. You're a competitor.
Well, but the unfortunate part about that is it was so late in my career and my hip was so bad. It was like I just didn't have much left after that. You know, I wrestled till I was 24. I made the transition to MMA. I actually retired for the first time in 2017. And when the UFC traded for me and I unretired in 2019, it was like I knew my window was really small. Like I knew I was going to have 12 to 18 months to make happen what I wanted to happen. I knew my hip was bad. And so when it happened, it was like, yes, I would have loved to be 22 again and been able to freaking grind it out like I did before.
Right.
But to certain aspects, like I know this, I don't have, my body doesn't have this left, you know? And so for me, it's just like, hey, that happened. And I accomplished a lot before that. I mean, I made an Olympic team, two NCAA titles, two Hodge trophies, the best college wrestler, two belts in two other major organizations. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was kind of one of those where you just got to roll off your back and, you know, go into other aspects of your life and, you know, kind of apply the same thing that I applied to wrestling or mixed martial arts to, you know, building my wrestling academies where we have five of them now, and podcasting where I'm doing really well there. So yeah, unfortunately I was like kind of old and my body wasn't right at the point where it's like, I couldn't do what I could have done when I was say 20, 21, 22, 23, that age.
Are you motivated now though? Like, are you back on that motivation drive? Like, it's now more about I'm coming off a hip thing. It's more about I'm going to do this. And I'm gonna grind here. Like you said, I'm going to find that grind. I'll grind it out. Have you found that now?
Well, I mean, what I would say to that is I've been doing this for so long. It's like, I almost don't know how not to do it. I mean, for real, I've been wrestling year round since I was 14. That's 19. That's when you were born. That was 1998.
You know, like, that's crazy.
I've been working my ass off since 1998. So I don't know another way but to work. So yeah. So, I mean, I feel like I'm putting the time in for boxing, and then, you know, my life's crazy because I'm doing all these other business things as well.
Right.
But I'm getting some good time. I actually got this guy K9 in town. He won two boxing world titles.
Cornelius Bundridge, is that
correct?
His name?
Yeah,
I know him. Yeah, I know who that is. Yeah,
yeah. He was awesome. He reached out on Twitter, and I brought him in like the second week of camp. And I said, hey, I'm gonna try him out and see how it works. And we kind of hit it off. I really like him. I enjoy his training style. Went really well, so I brought him back for another week. And then next week, I'm going out to Freddie Roach's. Nice. And then I'll probably bring K9 back in later in March or April or something.
Man, I'm trying to go to the I'm trying to check you out at Freddie's camp. I want to see
come on up.
What you got going on.
Hey, so obviously in terms this is gonna go the way you want it to go. Say, mm-hmm. you know, you do something great, which you're gonna do, obviously. Yep. Is that going to make you like, you think you'll get the bug back and you'll be like, you know what? Maybe I should go back to the UFC. Maybe because you could, yeah. you know, you could.
I don't think so. And here's why. At this point, the only thing left for me to do would be win a UFC title. That's it. Like, I've done everything else. You know, I made money. I've got a good following. I have a great life. The only thing would be to win a UFC title. And it's just like, I just don't know that my body has that left in me. I'm going to be 37 this summer. And so I think that's really unlikely. I think the one thing I said when I retired in 2019 is I'll never be a full-time fighter again. If the right opportunity came about, I'm not opposed to, you know, I thought it was an MMA fight or doing a boxing match or a wrestling match or whatever, you know, I still want to compete in some way, shape or form, but man. And I think, you know, I said, I read a lot about Ali. I read a lot about a lot of athletes and especially boxers, pretty much all athletes, but especially boxers.
Yeah.
No one retires on time and no one saves enough money. And that was the two things I said I would never do. I would never fight too long and I would never spend all my money.
It's very smart. Yep.
And so that's kind of like, I'm going to stick by that. And, you know, there's always going to be aspects and, you know, you never know what it's going to feel like to actually retire. And I retired in 2018. There's always that, like, there's nothing that can replicate that walk to the cage or, you know, walk to the ring for you guys. Mm. And it's like, it's a feeling that you'll never get, or that walk when you're walking to the NCAA finals, Matt.
Oh,
and so like, there'll be part of you that always misses that, but you also have to realize, okay, that was part of my life. That's not my life. That's not my whole life. I can do other great things in life. Yeah. And so that's kind of like where I'm at right now.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's almost like I could do more. You know what I mean? I'm not just a wrestler. I'm not just a boxer. I could do more. Like, that's kind of what Muhammad Ali was saying.
Yes.
And so it's very respectable. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, so does this happen? I don't follow boxing as closely as mixed martial arts, but for me, there's nothing more sad than these guys who are sticking around to their
that's early the
40s. And you're like, dude, what are you still taking ass whoopings for? Like, your best days were 10 years ago. Like, just go do something else.
I don't know about you, Ben, but sometimes in the locker room, I literally ask myself, like, why am I doing this? Like, boxing sucks. This pressure, this expectation, this sucks.
And he got his best years ahead of him, and he's already thinking that way.
No, I really was thinking that, like, my last fight. I was like, yo, I looked you know, to God. I said, man, why am I doing this? This is so much pressure. Like, this is like everybody's just expecting see me to do something. You know what I mean? And I feel it, like, every time I'm going to step into the ring. But it's weird. Like, I get a sense of peace when you hop in that ring, though. There's like a blanket over you, and then you're just ready to go. You know what I mean? You're just ready to fight. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I hate it. You know what I mean? I hate that feeling of before. It's like so much pressure. It's insane. Yeah.
So when I was younger, I had some issues with that. And even younger than you are. And one of my coaches talked to me about it. It's like, just that anxiety that builds up before the performance. Mm-hmm. And I was always pretty good when I stepped on the mat, but you know, he told me, and then I really like took this in and lasted my whole career, but like, just take your mind off it. He said, he talked about fishing. I think fishing's boring as shit. So I always found something else to talk about, but it was like, if I don't know how to fight an hour before I get in the cage, then I don't know how to fight and I'm screwed. Right. I better know how to fight. I better know what my strategy is.
Right.
And so it's like, before that walk to the cage, like, just, I just take my mind off it. I talk about anything else but the fight. And then it's like, well, I know how to fight. I've been doing this for, you know, wrestling included 20 years. So when I step in the cage, I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I took some of that anxiety off of it. And then, like you said, that the walk to the cage, when you're in the cage, like that's like a feeling that, man, you don't really get that other times in life.
Yeah, you pretty much, this is what I do. I pretty much just say thank you, like, while I'm walking to the, because I'm just a kid from Victorville. So it's more of like gratitude gets me through it. And the fact that I understand that I've been through that anxiety so much, it's an illusion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? It really is an illusion. It's something to make you think that it all could just go bad. You know what I mean? But it's not really the case, because you've trained, you've prepared there's not really anything that could really mess it up other than a meteor.
Real quick, you guys are talking about walking to the ring. Yeah. He did not walk to the ring last time. I just want to speak. And there's another guy in the room.
Can we say travel?
We carried him. So what could have messed him up was we could have said, floop.
No, travel. Yeah, they could have dropped me, but yeah.
So I think it's really important for fighters, for whatever reason, I think is maybe more than even other sports. Because I think other sports, it's like in MMA or boxing, if you have a big enough name, promoters are going to keep putting you out there over and over and over again. Even if you aren't what you used to be, and in a team for like football or basketball, if you can't cut it, you're off the team.
Right.
Doesn't matter how cool you are. Mm-hmm. And so to realize like you aren't just a fighter, like you're a person separate than that. And when you choose to walk away, you just take the same principles that you applied to your fighting career and you apply them to business or show business or whatever else it is you want to do. And you have another life. And, you know, my fighting life was 20 plus years when we include wrestling. But my business life is going to be likely significantly longer than that.
Hey, let me tell you something, Ben. I've never said this on air. But when I've always said I'm going to retire at 26, everybody looks at me crazy, right?
Yeah.
But I'm doing it to go into the MMA ring. So I'm going to need you to teach me some wrestling techniques before I start even trying to dive in there. Some little wrestling, and then we'll go from there. So, yeah, I've never said that out loud ever in my life. But I plan on to beat everybody I want to beat in boxing.
Yep.
As quick as I can, get out. Of course, I could dive back for big opportunities, but I want to show the world that I not only can I box, I feel like I could become the best warrior in the world. So nobody has ever dominated boxing and then try to dominate UFC. They've done it later on in their career when they're already done. But never when they're still fresh and they still have some juice left in them.
Has there ever been a high level boxer? Not just a boxer, but a high level boxer that has went to MMA.
James Toney went and fought.
Oh, don't do that to yourself.
I'm just saying. He's the only one that was technically high level, but Ryan said, he wasn't.
But I take it. But here's the thing: I wouldn't do it unless I knew that I could compete. I wouldn't go in there with a blind eye and just thinking that I'm just going to lay my hands on them, they're going to go to sleep, which can happen. But I need to know how to either get away from a takedown, take a leg kick, because my biggest thing is your leg is right there to get kicked at all times. I've seen it what happened to Conor McGregor, and he's a very experienced MMA fighter, but he got his leg kicked in. I don't understand that. That leg is just right there. How do you get away from that?
I think Conor was leading his front leg so much more. Right. And that's kind of, like I said, more like a boxing stance, right? Where that lead leg is out there a little further. Mm. And obviously that's a vulnerability both for a takedown and a kick. And so I think the stance in MMA, the best stance is probably a little more upright. So you're not vulnerable there. But I obviously don't think it would be super hard for you to make that transition. Yes, you should do training, but it's funny because no high level boxers have made the transition. Yeah. Wrestling, we didn't make any money. So, you know, like my Olympic class, me, Henry, and Daniel all said, hey, we want to go do MMA because we're not making any money doing boxing. Wrestling. But you boxers, you guys make enough money where you'd probably almost be taking a pay cut to go do mixed martial arts.
I would, but it would add to the storyline. Yes. It would definitely add to the storyline.
You could probably get paid really well. I mean, I don't know if it's comparable to your boxing pay, but there would be there would be so much mystery because we've never had a high level boxer, you know, transition to mixed martial arts who actually put time in. I mean, James Toney just got paid to get an ass whooping.
Yeah,
he didn't really put any time into it.
Yeah, he did.
And I can't think of any others that have actually like put a concerted effort into saying, hey, I actually want to be good at this.
I think they're a little scared. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I think that they're very scared because you see the kicks, you see the elbows, you see the knees, and you're like, why would I do that? You know what I mean?
I got thumbed in the eye one time sparring, and I was like, dudes be getting elbowed in the eyeball.
I have respect for it, though, because that is modern-day gladiators.
It is, for sure.
Ryan, I can't remember. I think you got heat with him. Do you got heat with Henry or no? I can't remember.
Henry hit me. Look at it, man. Here's the real story. I cleared this whole story up.
Okay.
So basically, Henry was fight. He had his last fight in MMA, and I was like, "Hey, man, yep. respect." Blah blah blah. And I felt like he was retiring because he wasn't getting paid enough or whatever.
I think that's probably it.
Yeah, and I was like, "Yo, if you want, we could just do like a fight. Like, I'll help you get paid." And he took it overboard. He took it to a different level. And I was trying to do it cool, like a very cool transition. Like, if you want to make some money, like you want to do this, like let me get you a bag. And he just really pushed for that fight too much. And I kind of had to pull it back because I'm like, you know what, Henry was trying to make it seem like I was calling him out. When it wasn't like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was like, hey, man, I don't mess with that. Like, let's just set up the fight and get it on. You know what I mean? But don't make up a story like I'm trying to call you out. I have bigger fish to fry in boxing other than you. I would do it just to help you out. I was being a nice guy. And he just twisted it. And I was like, you know what? F this dude, man.
Man. Yeah, I thought because he would be, if you consider a real transition to mixed martial arts, he would be a good guy to help you out training wise. Cause he's a great brain also. I mean, he figured out wrestling. He won an Olympic gold medal. He won a UFC belt and mixed martial arts. He understands combat sports. He gets it. He's super smart. And he would probably be, and he loves boxing too. So I'm sure he would be able to like help you say, well, you can't do this because of the takedown. You can't do this because of the kick, type of stuff.
Let's do it. I mean, I'm down to hang out with both of you guys.
Yeah.
And you guys turned me into a monster. I got Henry Cejudo and Ben Askren in my corner. That's pretty devastating to me. That would be sick.
So, Ben, hey, you mentioned business and stuff like after your fighting career. You want to talk a little bit about what you, like, what's your plan, like, moving forward after your fighting career is done? No more Jake Pauls, nothing like that.
Yeah. Oh, no more Jake Pauls.
I'm talking about after you're done, any more good opportunity.
So my brother and I have five wrestling academies in Wisconsin. That's the main thing that we're doing. We started with one in 2011. We're up to five now. There's really never been anything kind of like that in wrestling, you know, like where jiu-jitsu's got a Gracie Baja. Not that that's what we want to be, right? But, you know, our kind of message on how big we want to get is, you know, I think there's a lot of really crappy wrestling coaches. And I always think a good coach can change a kid's life and a bad coach will push a kid away from the sport. And so it's like, if I can keep putting good people in front of kids and changing lives, that's what I want to do. I've seen probably hundreds, but a lot of lives, literally not just their wrestling life, but their life was changed because of the sport of wrestling. And I'm sure you guys can say the same about boxing.
Right.
Yeah. And so if I can keep putting great coaches in front of kids and changing lives, I'm going to keep doing it over and over and over again.
What's the craziest story you could say in that you've had in your career?
Yeah.
Like just
life-changing?
Like something that we wouldn't know unless I asked you this question.
Oh, man.
Like just weird. Like you're just like, wow, that really happened. Like that is some crazy shit. Because I know I've already had some weird stories. So I want to know yours. Like what's something?
I can't think of anything too crazy.
No, I mean you don't want to get in trouble by your wife. I understand.
No, I've been faithful. I've been faithful.
I love it. Man.
I can't really get in trouble. I don't think. We're pretty open. I'm like very very honest. So
nice.
Anything strange? I can't really think of anything too crazy.
No, like a weight cut experience, anything.
I've never missed weight. Yeah. I'm pretty like particular about the things I do. So, I'm very regimented. So I've never missed weight in any type of wrestling or mixed martial arts over 20 years. Man, what is the craziest? I mean, okay. I got a funny one for you. You ready for this one?
Yeah, let's go.
So I was in Philadelphia. It was when I fought for the Bellator title in October of 2010. And I needed a sauna. You know, that's how a lot of wrestlers use that to sweat.
Right.
And so I was online Googling sauna, whatever. I didn't have anywhere to cut weight. And so I found this place and I went there by myself, right? Because my thing about weight cutting, I don't like making people suffer with me. So I'm like, I'm just going to suffer by myself. I'll be fine. I've done this many times. So I show up at this place and I get in the sauna And I'm kind of looking around. I'm like, there's only dudes here. And then I'm like, those dudes over there, they're kind of sitting close to each other. As I'm cutting weight, I'm picking up on this stuff. And I'm like, oh my, I think I'm at a gay hangout right now. And
I knew this is where it was going, but
someone, they start eyeing me up. They start, this is definitely what's going on right now. And so then when I went back, I finished my weight cut. I went back to my room. I like re-looked up where I went to, and I started like diving a little deeper. I'm like, oh yeah. So then I didn't have anywhere to cut weight the next day. So I'm like, hey, I took my wife with me. I'm like, Amy, you got to go with me because, you know, I'm not going there alone again.
Hey, you got to make weight with me,
and
babe.
I got to make weight. So I'm taking you with me to the sauna.
And you're sitting in there with me for 30 minutes.
Dude, that is hilarious. Oh my gosh.
Hey, I'm going to ask, what's the biggest misconception about you? And I don't know. That one. Is it that? Was it them guys thinking that you were there for a reason?
Yeah, well, that's why I had to take my wife back the next day. So there was no, I don't think I was big enough or popular enough at that time. But like, if I was super popular and I showed up there, that would
they would have, TMZ, it would have been like, boom, boom, boom. Ben Askren was seen at.
Let's see, biggest misconception. I don't know. I think a lot of people think I'm an asshole, and I realize why I come off that way sometimes. But generally, people around me mostly like me. I have a lot of friends all the way back from high school, who all of college, everything. And I kind of purposely sometimes try to come off that way on Twitter, but that would probably be the biggest misconception.
And I think it has a lot to do because I sense already, like, you like to be honest about everything.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes people don't like that. You know what I mean? They want to be told a lie that makes them feel good. And sometimes you might tell them the truth in a way that they might not like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I kind of see why people would be like, oh man, Ben, he sucks. You know what I mean? Because you're going to tell him the truth. But I would appreciate that if I was, you know, around you and be like, I'd rather take it straight than a lie. Because then I could, I can improve here. You know what I mean? Not buttercoat anything. Just tell me it straight. And I'll even be honest with myself. That's something that's why I think I've gotten so far ahead, because I've never said to myself, I got it all figured out. I've always been like, there's something here I can improve on. There's something here I can improve on. And never be satisfied. I think that's the key to anything. Never be satisfied.
100%.
Yeah. This is the call out segment, guys. Let's get it. All right. Down to the last few minutes. Before we get to the fan questions, I have to ask, if you could call out anyone right now besides Jake Paul, who would it be and why? You got 30 seconds. The clock starts now.
What sport are we doing?
Any sport.
Any sport.
Any sport.
Street fight.
Good. Any sport. Oh, my. You get it. I'm going to call out Ryan Garcia in disc golf, because I know I could beat him in disc golf.
Oh, let's go. Hey, mark that down. I need that. I need that work. I need that work.
Have you ever played disc golf?
I have played it in school. For some reason, they had it one day, and I was monstrous. Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Let's get it.
And Ben used to have that. Remember that? Okay. All right. I got some disc golf in my blood, so it's all good. All right. So, Ben, are you ready for some fan Q&A questions that they have for both of us?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Let's go. All right, guys, here we go. From the first question, we have from TBNH205. He asks, or she, with your experience in fighting, what would you say is Jake Paul's biggest flaw, and how will you take advantage of it?
He's very mentally weak, and I will put the pressure on him. He will crack like a twig.
Ooh, he's saying he's gonna crack like a boiled egg. Wait, they don't crack. Anyways, all right. Next question is from Tanner Small. He wants to know, are you training with the same team you usually do for this fight, like as in MMA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have been training with a lot of guys from Rufus, but I also brought in, like I said, K9, and then I'm going to Freddie Roach. So I figured it was really important to have some boxing specific people who gave me that look.
Nice. Okay, we're going to do with two more questions. Stephen Jordan asks, if you could finish your opponent with one Mortal Kombat move, which would it be?
I'm very particular. I love chokeholds. And so I actually didn't play Mortal Kombat, so I don't know that in the head choke. Someone should have had a damn chokehold if they didn't. Someone probably did, right?
I would probably go with Sub-Zero. Okay. His finishing move is nasty. As all of those fatality moves are all pretty graphic. But I would go with any of those. And the last question is from Jack White. He asks, during this camp, have you had any favorite boxers to watch? And so I think we've touched on this. I'm going to go to a different one. I'm going to go actually to Beanie703. Oh, no. Okay. Well, that's kind of a question that we've already answered. Jeez, so I'm going to come up with my own question.
Uh-oh.
My own question is this. After you defeat Jake Paul and you win, you're going to have a new set of fame. Will you become a YouTuber? Go. You're on the clock.
No, I will not become a YouTuber. I actually have a vlog and a podcast on a platform called Rockfin. Oh. So the thing that Rockfin does that's different than YouTube, and Ryan, you may want to consider this. Rockfin gives you a stake in the value of the network. And that's the problem with digital networks. Digital networks, they get so large that they can tell their creators what they're going to earn. And most of the time, it's not all that much. With Rockfin, you get a stake in the network. They reward you on a blockchain type algorithm. And so I'm on Rockfin. But my main thing will always probably be growing my wrestling academies.
Nice, nice. Okay, well, thank you, Ben, for joining the show.
This was a blast. Disc golf next week. I'll see.
Yeah, I'm really down to do it. Let's get it. That disc golf going on. Thank you again to Ben Askren. Don't miss his fight against Jake Paul live on Triller on April 17th. And be sure to catch his podcast, The Funky and FBR Podcast, on Rockfin. Okay. Yes. And thanks to the people out here listening. Thank you so much. And don't forget to send your questions and comments, and I'll do my best to answer them in the next episode. Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe wherever you watch and listen to podcasts. This is me, Ryan Garcia, signing out. Thank you so much, Ben. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Yes. Thank you, Ben.
Hey, man, have a good training session, man. Get to it.